Hey everybody, it's Ted Drozdowski, senior editor of Premier Guitar, and we're here with Eric Johnson. Wonderful guitar player, very nice human being. I've had the pleasure of talking with Eric before, although not in person, so it's a pleasure to get together with you.
Good to meet you. Glad to be here. Yeah.
And I guess we're just in time for the debut of your new Fender Stratocaster signature model.
Just came out.
So maybe that's a great place for us to start talking for this spring rundown.
Yeah, well, we're out on a AV Musicom tour with Tommy Taylor and Kyle Brock, and I'm playing these signature... This is the new F-hole Strat. This one is completely 100% stock with all the, you know, I just got it from Fender and been playing this one. And then I have this white one that I play as well, and it's all there, except I did put a little stronger pickup in it because I'm experimenting. I used to use a DiMarzio HS2.
Okay.
And so for the Musicom tour, I tried to get back to the tone of that record, so I put a DiMarzio HS2 in this one.
Oh, cool. No, you've got that guitar. Do you mind if I ask you about some of the appointments?
Absolutely.
I know you've got a whammy bar on here.
Right.
That's to your specifications.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's a little shorter, a little deeper angle.
Yeah, it's twisted just a little bit, kind of like the 54 Strats a little bit.
Okay.
That's kind of what they're done like. And the most of the appointments of this guitar are exactly like the solid body EJ Strat, with the exception that it's a center solid wood all the way through here, and then it's hollow on each side.
Okay, so you've got your signature pickups in there as well.
Right.
And in terms of coming up with the F-hole design, this is the first Fender thin-line Stratocaster, which is very cool.
Yeah, they actually made a Japanese one, but it was made with like the thin-line Tele with binding.
Uh-huh.
So this one, the whole idea I wanted to do with this one, just keep it aesthetically like a classic Strat where you had all the contours. And so that was the real challenge, is how to get in there and do that and keep the contours. So it has an alder top and an alder back, but when the top is off, they channel out the wood, but they leave the center block here, and then they put the top back on.
Well, when I think of the electric guitars that you know, I know you've favored over the years, it's been Stratocasters, and it's also been mostly, I think, ES-335.
Yeah, and that was the whole deal with this, because I've always, for years, I thought, you know, I love the Strat because it's the most versatile for me, but I thought, you know, if you could get a little 335 going on in there, it might be kind of cool.
Yeah, that sort of mellowness and wideness.
Yeah, and a little bit, it's like a little air thing that kind of reciprocates back to you, a little resonation thing.
Yeah, well, when you were sound checking earlier, I thought we could really hear that in it, which is
cool. It does, it's pretty apparent. And then it doesn't squeal in front of the amp because it has this solid wood, but when you do get in front of the amp, it kind of sustains pretty well. So it doesn't go overboard on the feeding back, but it does kind of help for that.
And how long were you working on this?
We worked on this a little over a year.
Cool.
Yeah.
And you know, while we're talking about appointments, what kind of frets do you prefer? Are those
like
medium jumbos?
Yeah, the medium jumbos with kind of a flatter radius. Yeah, on the neck. Yeah.
Well, that's a beautiful guitar.
Well, thank you.
And now, obviously, though, you've got some more. So why don't we
see
what else is?
Well, yeah. So I use those two signatures, and then a lot of the Musicom set, I go ahead and use my old 54 Strat, which is this one. And it basically has the old pickups, but then it again has the HS2. That's actually the exact pickup I used in the on the AV Musicom record. And it's kind of a
cool
old funky piece, but it's got a good tone to it.
It's beautiful. Is that the original neck as well?
It's the original neck and body, but the neck's been shaved and refretted, and the body's been oversprayed and stuff. So it's not like, it's no perfect collector's piece, but that, I kind of like that better, because then I can, especially now in these days, you know, it's like you find a Stradivari violin, you go, oh, I'm going to saw the neck off. He's like, you can't do that anymore. In the old days, it didn't matter, you know. But so now finding the guitars with a few issues is great for me, because I don't ever really play a stock Strat anymore, unless I play one of my F-holes or whatever.
And I know you got your first Strat when you were 18, is that right? Or roughly?
19, yeah.
Okay, and I know it was a big deal.
Or maybe it was 18, you're right. Oh. You know more than I do. Do you know what, like when I was 7, do you know what I, no, I'm just kidding.
Actually, I'm trying to figure out where you left your keys.
Yeah, right. That's funny. Yeah, I did.
Do you still have that Strat?
No, I don't. I ordered a white Strat with a maple neck because of Woodstock. And
cool.
And I wanted that. And I remember
the
waiting.
Jimmy Strat.
I waited a year to get it in. And I remember getting it in. And I remember, first thing I did, because I knew anything about Strats, I just went crazy on the bar, like third son of the sun. I went, it's not staying in tune perfectly. What's wrong with this? I thought it was broken. You know, I didn't know any better. You know, it's like, well, the Tremolo bars don't really stay in tune perfectly. Like
did you ever hear those old Ike Turner records, like Prancin' and stuff like that?
Oh, yeah.
Because he had one of the early Strats with the whammy bar.
Yeah.
And I once asked him about that, because it's radical. It's like, wow, totally crazy stuff.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, so, you know.
How did you keep it?
How did you do? do it? And he goes, well, I don't know. I just thought that was what you were always supposed to do with it. I hadn't heard anyone play one.
Think in tune, it'll stay in tune.
Yeah, I don't think he cared that much, but he was happy with it.
Yeah.
Now, you've got two more guitars up there.
Yeah, and then so for one song, I do, there's a song on the Musicom set, Steve's Boogie. I use this vintage reissue Tele, which I got from Fender, but I custom ordered it with a maple neck instead of the rosewood neck, because it's actually a rosewood vintage reissue with a custom binding, but I wanted the maple neck because I just like maple necks better.
Cool. And so it's otherwise stock?
Yeah.
Nice. It's just, nice finish, too.
And then for a couple tunes, I'm doing a acoustic thing, so I use this Maton guitar for a stage because I really like the way the electronics sound great in these guitars. So.
Cool.
So I use that for, one of the songs. There is a song on Obby Musicom called Song for George, and so I play that on this.
Okay, yeah. George Harrison tribute, of course.
Actually, it's, I have a friend of the family's. His name was George Washington.
Oh!
An older friend of mine. No, that was actually his name, though. A very, very close friend of mine. It was kind of like a second father to me.
Ah,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
It's nice to be able to remember people with music.
Yeah, absolutely.
Way.
Yeah,
it's a cool thing. And how did you find out about Maton, since there are Australian builders?
Well, you know, Tommy Emmanuel being the know, greatest steel string player, I just thought, well, I'll take what he's having. You know? But I mean, he gets a great sound live, it's always been a struggle trying to get an acoustic guitar to sound natural live. You know, with the piezo pickup and all, then you listen back to tape recordings of your live show. It sounds like I'm playing my acoustic set on a Telecaster, you know?
Yep.
You know what I mean? And so I think Tommy has done a beautiful job of getting a realistic acoustic tone live at a healthy level. I mean, there's cats like James Taylor that get a beautiful sound, you know, the lower key thing.
But, yes.
Which I do that also with Martins with a totally different approach to the... But
you have a signature Martin, as I recall.
And you can take different approaches for that with microphones and stuff and get a nice kind of more of a old school live acoustic tone, but you can't get the volume out of it unless you do some of the stuff some of the stuff Tommy's figured out. He's figured out some pretty ingenious ways to, so that was kind of my inspiration for that.
Well, cool. Shall we move over and take a look at the amps?
Yeah, sure.
All right, let's do it. So here we are over by the amps, and four heads are obviously better than one. But why don't we start with that one? Why don't we start with the two-rock?
Well, this is a brand new two-rock they have called the Traditional Clean, and I actually use that for my Dirty Rhythm sound. It's really cool. I just set it for kind of a little bit of a crunch thing, like a Keith Richards type, little bit of distorted kind of sound. And that goes into a Marshall cabinet as well over there. It's a 16-ohm Marshall cabinet with 30-watt Celestians.
Okay.
These two guys are just old blackface twins that I put in a piggyback cabinet.
Nice.
And they go into a stereo Marshall cab with four EVL 12-inch speakers, two for each twin, so they're in stereo. And then I stereo mic that. And that'll be, it's all three setups, there's only one setup on at a time. It's either the Stereo Clean or the two-rock for Dirty Rhythm.
Okay. And are these two reissues, essentially, the twins?
No, they're like, I don't know, 66 or something.
Oh, okay, something like right around transition, transition
era.
Cool. Change the tubes out, anything different in these?
Bill Webb in Austin works on them. He just dials them up, biases them, and puts tubes in them and stuff. Yeah, that's about it. They're pretty much stock, except that they need a new, cap job or whatever.
Yeah. Cool. Well, why don't we move into the Marshalls?
And then the other tone is the main lead tone, which is it's either a 50-watt or a 100-watt Marshall.
Okay.
And they both either of those will go into yet another Marshall cabinet with Celestian speakers over there.
Now, are these both early '70s heads or?
They're both 69s.
Oh, they're both 69.
Yeah,
okay. Cool.
I think so, 68 or 69, something like that. Yeah.
And it's a 50 and 100.
Yeah.
Great. And
yeah.
Those are stock, I assume, as well?
They are. They're pretty much totally stock, just been biased up and turned on 10.
Cool. Now, for your basic tone, are you running multiple amps? You know, how is the switching setup for these?
Well, it's either the two twins.
Okay.
I have two sets of rhythm sounds. So I have a master AB that either selects rhythm or lead,
okay.
And this is the lead. When I select over to the rhythm, I have then yet another AB that chooses two different rhythms, either a clean rhythm or a dirty rhythm.
Okay.
The clean rhythm is the two twins.
Okay.
The dirty rhythm is the two rock.
The two rock.
Yeah.
And then this is your lead out, the Marshall.
Yeah.
Cool. Cool. And the cabs, do you know anything about their history? You know,
I think that one's like a 70 or so, and I think that one's a 69 or something like
cool.
that.
Cool. And do they still have their old greenbacks in them too?
This one has the 30 watts in it. That's got 80 watt Celestians in it, that one over
okay.
there from the 80s.
Yeah. Cool. And, but this is primarily where we're hearing your lead tone come from.
Well, this head is. It actually is going into that cabinet.
Okay,
and
great.
The T-Rock is going into there. Yeah.
Cool. Well, we should talk about effects too, but I noticed that in your chain over here, you've got some friends with this amplifier here.
Well, you know what? And for this Avia Musicom tour, I have a newer pedal board, and I was working out the sound, and I was like, I can't quite get the sound. So I pulled out all this stuff I used like 30 years ago, and which is an MXR digital delay and the oldest TC course, and then I have a tube driver by BK Butler.
And the Echo Plexus. So I went back to all the old stuff to get the sound, and when I plugged it all up, it's like, this sounds right. The thing I did with the Echo Plexus, though, is Bill Webb got rid of the tapes, and he put send and return wires on them, so I could use any echo I wanted and put it on 100% wet and feed it back into the Echo Plex.
Oh, that's
so
pretty radical.
I'm actually using the Echo Plex for the tone, but I'm using a digital delay to feed back into it instead of using the tape head and the tapes that are in it.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I was actually going to ask you about the Echo Plex because it just seems courageous to take one on the road these days, but that bypasses the problem.
Yeah, I was getting the sound I wanted out of it, and I said, you know what, I'm getting what I want out of it, but I just can't go on the road with these tapes. It's crazy. I mean, nowadays, So Bill figured out a way to make it a hybrid kind of thing.
Well, cool. And then we should also just take a look at your pedal board.
Sure.
So, you're on tour celebrating a classic album, and you brought out the classic board.
I brought out the original stuff that I used, which is kind of crazy. Yeah, that's why it's such a board looks like it's from, 1700 or something, because that's the actual board that I had back in the old days that I used to use.
Well, it's great. Do you want to take us through the chain?
Yeah, sure. I'd be happy to. So I have the master A-B switch.
Okay.
So if I come into this, the first thing I can do is go straight out to lead. Straight out to lead goes into an old crybaby, which goes into one of those Echo Plexes, and then goes into that tube driver back there, and that goes straight into the Marshall.
And do you keep the crybaby on all the time when you're doing lead?
No,
for attenuation.
Yeah, I don't even use it that much. But I do use it every once in a while. Yeah.
Yep.
And then. The other side of the A-B switch goes into the second A-B, which gives me a choice of a rhythm. So for the clean rhythm, it goes into this this loop box. The loop box has that deluxe memory man on it, which I just put in and out for like wet, super wet, clean stuff. And then that goes into another Echo Plex back here.
The Velopak over there? The actual Echo Plex.
Yeah, okay. I have a second Echo Plex for clean rhythm, but it also has a Bell Epic on it as well. And then the wet part of it, and the Echo Plex just used for dry. And then that goes into the TC chorus and goes into the two twins.
Cool.
And then the other side of it is the dirty rhythm. The dirty rhythm goes into a loop box, which is unnecessary because I never use it without it, but one side of the loop just bypasses the overdrives, but I never turn that on anymore. But it's been there since the old days. But so the side I use goes into the tube screamer, into the fuzz face, into this MXR flanger doubler, and then it goes into that MXR digital delay back there, and then it goes into the two rock.
Cool. And that looks like a classic old 60s Dallas Arbiter fuzz?
It is. Yeah, it is. They're cool. I mean, I have a signature fuzz, which I use, but right now for mating up with an old tube screamer, the old fuzz face, they seem to kind of go together pretty well.
Well, great. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah.
How much longer is the tour going on right now?
We have four more shows, and then we get to go home. So we've been out for a long time, but it's been great.
Well, thanks for coming to Nashville.
Oh, my pleasure.
And thanks for doing a rig rundown with us. We really appreciate it. It's great to see you again.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. All right.
My pleasure.
All right.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for watching the latest Rig Rundown. Guess what? Every week, we upload a brand new Rig Rundown to PremierGuitar.com a full week before it's available here on YouTube. So to get your gear fix as soon as humanly possible, go to premierguitar.com/rigrundown. And while you're there, be sure to sign up to get an email notification so you're the first to know as soon as each week's new Rig Rundown is available. Cheers, see you soon.